just let him go. Don't you think that it's time that you just let him know? He should be crying over you, not him. I know you'll win this battle, baby. Come out swinging. Change it up. It's just bad luck. It's not love's fault. It's his. He should be crying over you.
You just heard a snippet of the new single, He Should Be Crying, by the most awarded independent country artist in Canada, Jamie Warren. Jamie has been awarded multiple Junos, CCMAs, and Ontario Country Music Awards in his career, with over 65 singles from 9 studio albums, including the Greatest Hits album in 2004. Here to talk about his new single, his brand new tour with some pretty exciting guests that are going to be coming up, and his new music is country artist Jamie Warren.
Hey, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Very good to talk to you again. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've been up to some great stuff.
Oh my gosh, you have no idea.
We've got so much to be going to cover because the first thing we got to talk about is like these golfing pictures that you got up there. Spring is so close.
Oh yeah.
On Facebook, I saw the other day, and then the day before you had your mitts and your scarf on.
And well, you know, and the funny thing is they were both from a different time, right?
Ah.
Like the one with the mitts and stuff was from last winter, I think. And I was just basically, you know, just trying to say something funny, right? Because I knew we were going to get some winter weather. And then the other one was a golf shot from, I think it was last season. Cause it came up as a memory. So I'm hopeful. It's sort of weird living in a positive way where we live, because we have a different temperature than, like, we have no snow.
Oh, you don't have any right now?
No.
Really?
No. And it's been that way for, like, I don't want to mislead you, because what we had, when did this come? It calmed down today, but Tuesday? Or sorry, on Monday.
On the weekend, yeah.
Yeah, too. And we got ice. So we got a little bit of snow, but it's sort of down our way. We got rain and it turned to ice. And so we always have a different temperature. Like, as an example, today it was like 2 degrees in Kitchener. It was 6 degrees where we are, and it's 9 degrees down in Windsor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we've got a different weather pocket. So,
you guys usually get most of the storms. I didn't realize how much you get, but you do.
We get a lot of wind. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we do. But the thing is, sometimes the temperature difference makes it, you know, whether we get rain or get snow.
You should see how much I have right now.
Oh, I was blown. Honestly, I went to Kitchener today, and I'm going again tomorrow. That's usually my schedule, Wednesdays and Thursdays. And I was blown away by they have snowbanks. I'm going, what the?
Oh, I got lots. I know. I was out shoveling last night, and it was deep. And I was like, okay, after the weekend, and then we got some more yesterday. And now it's really nice and sunny, and now it's going to be a puddle out there probably in a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So much fun. I didn't have to shovel water before until now.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. It's a new one.
Well, it's been a funny winter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's now, from a shoveling perspective, I usually shovel a lot, and we had two big storms where, you know, I ended up shoveling like 4 times in 36 hours, right? One of those.
That was before Christmas, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just before Christmas, and then there was something around New Year's. And between you and I, outside of cleaning some ice off or some topical snow, that's been the only shoveling all winter.
Yeah, it's been pretty mild, because I'm at Wasega Beach right now. So I'm up at my sister-in-law's place. So I've been looking after their house for a little bit while they've been away. Totally different weather. And I was getting less, I think, than Collingwood for sure. And then, you know, obviously towards Barrie, they were getting hammered. And it was kind of missing me a lot. And I was going, okay, this is good. And like you said, I only got the two storms until now.
Right.
So everybody else is green. I'm not green.
Well, we head to Wasega Beach a week tomorrow for my mom's birthday.
Oh, do you? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
She lives up there.
Nice. It's always nice up here. That's one of my calm places. I used to go to Collingwood all the time. So they just moved up here, but they bought a place out in BC. So yeah, so they just needed somebody to come up and watch it for a little bit while they were away.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. It's been nice and quiet. It's been really nice.
Yeah, you're talking about Wasaga?
Yeah.
It is in the wintertime. Yep.
Yeah, it's very quiet, very quiet. And I still walk down to the beach all the time.
It's a neat place. I mean, I'm well familiar with the beach because like Sauble Beach was like my parents had a restaurant there
when I was sort
of between the ages of 3 and 8. And then we've always had a cottage. And don't think that when I say that, it makes it sound like we had a cottage. It wasn't a beautiful home on the water.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
So
I hear you.
Yeah. So I'm used to the water. But this is a funny story. Is and again, I guess we have an interview to do. But it was.
We're on the interview. I hate to tell you.
Are we okay? Good. Well, yeah. Well, it's Wasaga Beach, and this is a funny story. So I had played. My parents informed me that they were going to move to Wasaga Beach. And it was somewhat out of left field. Now, that's not totally true because my sister was living there and she was in insurance. Like my parents had, that's what they've done their whole life, right? And so they opened an office up there. And so, but they said that they're going to, you know, head to Wasaga Beach and then eventually retire there. And I'm going, you're kidding, right? And the reason I say that, Kim, is at the time, I was playing in after 80s and then I did club work. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Until the 90s came along. And so this is 10 years before they made this decision. And I remember going for a run. I was playing the Diconia, did a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It was brutal. It was and it was like in the middle of winter.
Oh.
And so I went for a run and I ran right down Main Street, like right down to the waterfront. And I ran right down the center of the road and never passed a car.
Oh, no way.
I know. And so all I could think of when talking to my folks is like, are you sure you want to move there? Like, what are you going to do in the winter? But what I didn't realize is that it had become a bit of a retirement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had added a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really cool. Like a Y. And
it's changed a lot.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do with your mom for her birthday?
We take her to, you ready? The Boston Pizza.
Oh, okay.
And part of the reason it's very close to her retirement, like where she, yeah. And so that's where we usually go.
Okay.
And part of it too is that they have a patio. It won't affect us this time of year, but in the summertime,
mm-hmm.
Or in the better
nicer
times
weather.
Of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's sort of the place we go. We've been to a couple of other places, but that's usually,
that's the only one I think that's got a patio, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're teasing you with the weather out there for the golf.
Oh, I know.
Oh, I know. Boy.
It's been, and we had such an interesting winter, right? Because like it almost seemed like there was a couple of days where the sun was out and it was like 10, and I'm
mm-hmm.
going, okay, that's total golf weather. Now, now of course, in the fall it is, or in the spring, right? When the courses are ready,
mm-hmm.
but of course the courses aren't ready yet. But I golf in 10 degrees. I golf in like 6.
So does my dad. 7. You sound like my dad.
Oh yeah. Well, I've got all the clothes, right?
You
got
and
they're always in my bag. Got it.
Is there going to be a bet? Is there going to be a bet this year between you and Ange?
You mean concerning who might win?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll leave that open. It could be.
So there might be a tropical beach somewhere that's involved
yeah,
with whoever loses. Or yeah.
She's beaten me on a hole, so I'll give her that. But she's a very good golfer. She hasn't golfed as much as me.
I guess not.
No. But see that. But she's a natural athlete, and,
mm-hmm.
and that's another. If this is part of the interview, that's part of the thing that kind of sealed the deal for me.
Oh, so she understands your part in that too. Your world. Yeah.
Well, that was the thing is it was like we'd known each other. And for me, the first time I kind of went, you know what, this might be a cool thing was she came to a party with me, one of my friends, speaking of which part of my golf pals. Right. And it was an outdoor early September party.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so the weather was great. And so we played, had a bit of, I played volleyball. And that was the first time I went, oh, and she was very good, right? and
check
then
one.
Also, yeah, and then also we won, well, we tied, but we really won the egg toss competition.
Oh.
And so I also found out that she's pretty competitive. and so, but this whole getting to know that she's quite athletic, mm-hmm. it was like,
very
so that,
nice.
And yeah, and that honestly, you know, she's a great person, but it was just kind of, that was an extra little, ooh, maybe I got somebody that I can, because I go to the gym all the time, right? And so it's kind of like.
Oh, I didn't know you went to the gym all the time.
Yeah, I've been a Y member since 32 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Keeping you in shape so that you can make those swings.
Thank
you. Competitive.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe to stay in shape to be on the road too, but.
I have a joke with you right now.
Okay.
See, what brought to mind was the last interview that I had with you, and you were talking about your dad, the song that you used to play for your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And you promised me that you were going to learn that song next time you come on, because it was all about what you look like when you were naked and having to be in shape, remember?
Oh.
That's what came to my mind. I have no idea why, Jamie. I really don't.
Okay, so this is really funny. So when we when my dad passed away, it's about 11 years ago, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
And so so the interesting thing is that when we shifted my mom around, you know, in terms of where she's been living, and we'd had to downsize her a couple of times. And so what do you do with some of the, you know, family heirlooms and stuff like that?
Right.
And Sherry, my sister, who is now in Texas, and so she talks with my mom and manages to sort of do a FaceTime thing with my mom. And I could get the reason I'm laughing is my mom doesn't really know how to do that.
Oh.
And so, yeah. So my sister Sherry has set up a laptop, and she connects her phone, and this way that she can show my mom some stuff. And so she was playing. So my sister connects with my mom every Saturday and Sunday, and she had found the CD of my dad and her singing doing the Sunday, because they used to do some of these shows together.
Mm-hmm.
So she played her that. And then also, you got it. I don't look good naked anymore.
Yeah, I think that was the name. I couldn't remember what it was.
Yeah, and that's him singing the song. And so, and the reason you bring that up, my sister recently played it for my mom.
Oh.
She found the CDs again, and this was like about 3 weeks ago. So it's funny you brought that up. Yeah.
So did you learn it? You promised.
No, I have not learned it yet.
Oh, come on. Well, your birthday's just around the corner, so it's close enough.
I know.
Another trip around the sun.
Well, I think I need a couple trips because the irony is that me going to the gym, I think I have to eat a little more and not go to the gym.
Oh, okay.
in order to not look good naked anymore. Kim, go with it.
I don't know why that came up. I thought it was such a funny story when we talked last time. I wonder if I'm gonna catch him and see whether or not he can play that song. I'm gonna make him do it.
Oh.
Hey, this is a challenge.
Well, I mean, it's a good challenge too. I'll write that down because my sister, I'll get it from my sister.
Yeah, that would be so much fun. So much fun to hear you playing that one. But then I'll put you on Zoom so everybody can see your face.
Okay.
Because you had just come back, I think, from Mexico at the time, and you were so excited that we were going to be on Zoom. And I went, nope, it's just going to be calling into the studio. And you're going, but this is the first time I'm tan.
I know, exactly.
So we blew your tan. I'm so sorry about
that. We got a fun video out of that, too.
Mm-hmm.
That was going to make you want to.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was shot on Angie's phone, her new phone.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it turned out really well. And then my pal, Terry, my video director, edited all the footage. And it was a fun looking video.
He does a lot, doesn't he? I think he did Sean Hogan's, too, right?
He's done a bunch of Sean's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
he had mentioned him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Terry's done a bunch of, he does independent movies, and he's been in the film industry. Terry, I met Terry in about 1983.
Oh, wow.
82, 83. And Terry was an artist. He was he had an album.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, called The Writing Room that he had done with Doug Biggs and Rick Hutt. That was Rick's partner at the time at Cedar Tree. And Kenny Munshaw was the other guy.
Oh, wow.
So the three of us were sort of the first three guys. And then, no test on these names, but then there was Wendy Davis and Madonna Tassi were a couple of girls that they were working with as well.
Yeah, because you've been with Rick right from the beginning, right?
Me, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another funny story, too, is that it came from my Hanover connection.
Oh, okay.
The world is...
small.
It's totally true. Oh, that's... I'm telling you. And this is an important an analogy, I guess, is that often I've done panels with artists at CCMAs or CMAOs, mm-hmm. right? And what I've said before on some of these industry panels is take the time to look beside you and behind you and in front of you. And the reason I'm saying that is the people on this panel here, okay, they're all the successful people in each individual field. And you're going to shake their hand, you're going to say hi, you're going to introduce yourself, and who knows, something might work out. But the reason I'm saying to look to your right and to your left is networking begins here. Mm-hmm. And these people that are on the panel were sitting where you are. And the next video director is going to be to your right. The next person in the record industry is going to be on your left. The next
very cool
winning producer is going to be behind you. Just nobody has found them yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know,
very smart.
Networking is an important thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing of, and it's not just networking, but friendships, mm-hmm. right? It's not, and that often happens that, because when it comes, and that's the other thing too, is when you're starting out, right? And let's say, you know, you're an artist and you get a little break, right? You finally get up to the next level and you're working with these people and somebody's going, gosh, I wish we only had somebody who could do this video shoot. And it's like, I got a guy,
mm-hmm.
right? And now you get your buddy, mm-hmm. right? And then, and that's how life works. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't the music industry work in a very similar way?
It's very, very wise words. Some of the questions mm-hmm. that I have for you in the interview mm-hmm. was talking about, you know, with your experience and all that. So we'll venture back to that because there's some stuff okay. I wanted to ask you. And I always love your stories because they're always so in-depth and I get so much from them.
Oh, good. Good. Okay. Yes. Okay. That's a pretty good story. Well, but actually that said too, before you said that, was there something else we were talking about just on the fringe of that before we talked about...
You were talking about Rick and meeting him because you've been with him right from the beginning.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's exactly it. So the thing, you know, as we maybe talked about a little bit about your original surroundings and your networking that starts before you even know it started. I grew up in Hanover. And so I'm about to go off to college to study broadcasting, going to Kitchener. And so I went to a music guru that I knew, and his name was Dick Nechtel. And Dick was Richard Nechtel. Dick was 10 years older than I was, mm-hmm. and really still is a performer, and more in the folk side.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Hey, Richard, who? You know, I'm going to Kitchener. Any thoughts on the music industry or stuff like that?" And he said, "Kitchener, eh?" He said, "Okay, I want you to check. I'm going to give you a phone number and the name of a guy. His name is Rick Hutt. He's in Kitchener and he's a Palmerston guy. And so, so here's a Hanover kid in Walkerton talking to Richard who suggested a Palmerston guy."
Yeah. That's going to be that click right there.
Yeah. And that's how it started. And so I was in college and I gave Rick a call just to say hi. And I just said, "Hi, I'm Jamie Warren." I explained what Richard Nechtel said. And he said, "Why don't you come over to the studio?" And I was, I think first year college. And that was when I met Rick, and that's how it began.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, 41 years we've been.
41. I was going to say over 30, but yeah, 41. Very cool.
Yeah, yeah, and I recorded my first tune, which we shot a video for, "World of a Child." And why I say we shot a video for it because it was a class project. Mm-hmm. I was radio and television arts, right?
So what? 1984 or something like that.
83. I was there 80. Gosh darn, I'm sorry, Kim. 80, 81, 82. Yeah. So it was 83, I think, is when I released, when I moved to Memphis.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I forgot you were out there, too. I forgot about mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm.
And I would have stayed there, but, you know, that green card
issue. Yes. Big difference.
Yeah. And I had, so I had a couple of cool gigs to go to. Like I was going to be singing in Jingle Factory. And that's actually a cool thing. It was a cool job that I had offered to me, but I couldn't take it because the immigration said, you need to go back to Canada, sir. Yeah. And that would have, I mean, it worked out okay for me. I really
just
loved
it. Just a little.
Yeah. Well,
just
thank
a
you.
Little, Jamie.
I loved Memphis. It was a very interesting place.
Mm-hmm. I've never been
who
there.
Who knows what would have
come of all of that. Wow.
Yeah. It's a very interesting city. Mm-hmm. Now, the negative aspect of it, which is the honesty, is, and especially at that time, the Deep South, I was so amazed at the racism.
Oh, yes.
And I'd never really experienced that before. It was shocking at times.
Mm-hmm.
Not an endearing quality.
No.
Of the South.
No,
it's
even
when it got to the point where my first wife, Beth and I were talking when we got young children, it's like, would I shift to Nashville? And it's like, nope.
Mm.
And the reason is, and let me say it this way, before that's an absolute no, it's if the opportunity came up, we'd have to decide. But what I thought was, I think it would be better for me to commute.
Than to bring the kids and the family.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Into a southern upbringing.
I can understand that.
But yeah. That was just, you know, and I don't want to, mm-hmm. That was at that time. Right. And you can also appreciate that was courtesy of my time spent there in like 1983.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been it would have been a different circumstance than it is today.
Mm-hmm.
So
big change, big change. Let's talk about you being able to finally play some live shows, because when I had you on, we still weren't sure. Mm-hmm. We were pretty sure that it was going to open up, but we just weren't, you know, absolutely certain. And you finally got to see Patricia and Michelle and Wade and everybody at the CCMAs. You did that and you were mm-hmm. playing a lot of live gigs. What was that like for you last year?
It was interesting. It was nice to play. That's the opening line. But it was also something different, right? When you haven't done it for a couple of years, mm-hmm. and then you go back to doing it, you have to sort of reacquaint yourself. I mean, in the same breath, I really enjoyed it. I mean, that's not, I didn't want to mislead any, you know, mm-hmm. you that way and just thinking that I didn't enjoy it. I loved it. But it is it's sort of a
new experience, like starting all over again, kind of.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it comes back, you love the interaction with the audience and it's nice to sing through a sound system again.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes back pretty quick. But it's just sort of, and I think everybody, like even going back to work, right, there's a physicality.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first time I did a gig out west, and this is just slightly before it officially opened up. And it was weird getting on a plane. And I used to get on planes all the time. And so after being locked up or comfortable at home, mm-hmm. if you follow me in that, and it's not because that's where you want to be, it's because that's what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get used to that. And now it's like, okay, we've got time to change it up. And so it does take a little bit of
getting used to again, going through all of that and getting on one plane and performing in one spot and moving on to the next.
And, mm-hmm. and it was funny. I was saying to Ange that first plane ride, you know, you're wearing a mask and how long is it going to take? And the irony is that, you know, I got dropped off early and I made it through in like 15 minutes.
Oh, right? Wow.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. So
that's quick.
And sat for 2 hours. It didn't bother me at all.
Nice.
To sit.
Hmm.
It's just kind of...
Getting to see everybody. Everybody was so excited about the CCMAs and I know I couldn't go.
Yeah.
Everybody had such a great time and seeing all the pictures of everybody again. And like you said, that networking and just your friendships that you build. And that's the one thing that I love about country music and seeing people that you haven't seen in 10 years. It's like no time has passed at all. And you pick right up where you left off and it's just like so friendly. Everybody is just so caring and they're so authentic. They really care about one another. It's really cool.
Oh, right. Whatever. Yeah. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. No,
Patricia's going to be going, hang on a second.
Yeah. Well, see, yeah, like Pat, I've known for a really long time. And here's something, too, in terms of Bob Funk, her husband, and Jay, her other guitar player, she had two of the best guitar players. And if you ever saw her live show, if Pat was playing, I'd make sure that I stuck around, you know, because I'd want to see.
Great show.
Oh, my gosh.
Incredible show.
Great band. Yeah. But yeah, it's one of those things where, especially in country music, in all honesty, everybody's pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. They are.
They're not pretending. And, you know, there's always a goofy apple, right? I mean, but maybe not.
Well, your guys are all competitive, and that's naturally, but you all root for each other. Everybody's always rooting for each other, and
everybody's friendly, and everybody, and the other thing too is everybody hangs out, and that's the thing about CCMAs or the provincial country awards. In our case, it's the CMAOs, right? It's like old home week when you all get together, because occasionally it happens, not to the same degree, but when you do festivals together and you bump into other artists, well, my gosh, you have a couple beers together. And when it comes to the CCMAs, that is the one sort of guaranteed time when pretty much everybody is there. And that's nice. And what has really evolved has been the aging of some of the artists. And you brought up Pat, is that, like, there was one time at CCMAs, and it wasn't that long ago. I think it was maybe 2019. I'm just trying to remember, Kim. It was Hamilton. And it was that 2018, 2018?
2018.
Okay. Yeah. And so, and it was kind of funny because it was at the, I think it's the Sheridan, right? And so up against the window, there was a few of us sitting there having a beer together. And it was like, it was such a bunch of fun. Now, here was our group of people that were all chatting and having a beer together. It was myself and Charlie Major and Patricia Conroy Bev McHood, and Michelle Wright and her mom was still alive then. Her mom always came, especially when it was in Ontario, right? And later, actually, that day, Thomas Wade was there, and Jim Witter popped in because he's from Hamilton.
Oh, nice.
And it was like, that was the crew of folks that were just sitting having beers and chatting.
That's nice.
And I'd like to say, and I can confidently say, we're all friends.
Almost like family.
And that's, yeah, and that's pretty cool. And I also think you addressed it a little bit, because it was interesting, the younger generation, which you'd recognize those names, are sort of over at the other side of the bar. And it's kind of like there was more of a relaxed tone amongst us now, because we're all, we've been there and done that sort of thing. It's not that we're done, but it's just that, you know, it's not the same
level of, you know, I've got to go out there and network and do.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That.
Pain. Yeah. And we've been in the industry for a long time, you know, so at some point you
all
at
the
go,
same
well,
time too. Like, you guys were all coming up all at the same time.
Sure. And that's when you kind of go, yeah, okay, I'll let you guys go run around a little bit. And we're just
sitting
our
chill
ass over here. And yes, I'll have another beer. Thank you.
Two.
Yeah.
Well, you write a lot too with Patricia, right?
I have. Well, Pat and I wrote with Jimmy Rankin. The three of us wrote together. We ended up writing a couple of songs together. We haven't written as much as we should be. But,
she's been busy.
Yeah, oh, she's a big deal now. So, you know, and that's awesome, because she's a great writer.
Well, Songland, she was like everywhere, just like everything you heard was something that she had written, and an artist was performing for her. Yeah.
Yeah, she's a great writer, and she's got a she's very Canadian, and that's a compliment. And she's also very contemporary. And I think what I pay her a compliment is, I think she was ahead of her time.
I agree with that.
Because in her melody and phrasing, her cadence was very contemporary. And sometimes too, those elements can appear in Canadianisms, or in the Canadian way, and I'm impressed with like Derek Rattan is another wonderful writer.
I love Derek. He's such a great writer.
Yeah. Carolyn Don Johnson. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of elements. Dean Brody's a spectacular writer.
A lot of people don't know that. Mm-hmm. And he goes into the woods and he writes comes out with an entire album 3 weeks later.
Yeah. Okay, well, this is the thing. I got to say this about Dean, and I've already complimented him, is that he's very unique. He's maybe the only person that does that, and that's freaking impressive. It just is, and that's what he does. Yeah, he goes by himself.
He doesn't go for long. He's out there, and he comes back with an entire full album, and he still does it. I'm telling you, he's very impressive. Really great writer.
Well, see, and what I'd say to that. And I don't know this from, speaking with Dean, is that and it would be a guess, and it's an educated guess, is that when he goes into the bush and writes, and comes back with an album, he would have gone into the bush with some ideas.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's just sometimes you need to
clarify that.
Because
he's not going in empty handed. He's already got those titles, or he's got quite a few things he's got.
Yep. And what I can totally relate to that is that
you're noodling.
I've incorporated my phone. So I record things on my phone, not my cassette machine anymore. That's funny. And also I use my notepad within my phone, but I still write proper lyrics, but for the most part I use the notepad and I collect them. Right. And I noodle and I come up with these ideas, but I'm just not ready to write or finish, right? And then usually this time of year, as we're talking.
Winter time?
Usually, yeah.
I know that's your famous noodling time. I know that.
Yeah, February through May is kind of when I pull out all those little goofy things and turn them into songs.
Well, you don't want anything interfering with the golf schedule.
Well,
no way.
I didn't say that out loud. Yes, I got a funny story to tell before I get to the golf thing. But yeah, I mean, sometimes the patterns also connect with our living in Canada. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like there's not a lot of touring during the wintertime.
No.
So that is, for the most part, the downtime. So what should you be doing? Well, I guess I better write. and so that's just sort of natural that is the case. The story I wanted to share with you is that I just finished March 1st, but is that this is my 16th year of doing my cleanse, January and February.
I saw that photo.
Yeah. And the reason I'm bringing that up, because you brought up golf. So when I first started this cleanse, it's been 16 years ago, I was doing 3 months, January, February, and March.
So is like this, the green drink with the cleanse?
So what happens? Well, it's been a couple things. I used to smoke cigarettes. In the old days, I would quit smoking. I'm not making it up. I just quit smoking. And I would not drink alcohol. And I would also go see my naturopath. And he'd look me over and we'd go on different supplements and stuff like that to sort of affect my body, like what's weak, what's not, right?
That's the athlete in you.
Yeah. And I still see John every once in a while, John Bender. I haven't for the last couple of years, but I'll end up going back. That's my naturopath.
Okay.
So I was originally doing 3 months, and the reason I switched it so that would take me to April 1st, right? And so I told you that at that time I was smoking and I was drinking, right? So the reason I shifted it to 2 months was because of golf.
Okay.
Because see...
Nothing interferes with golf.
Well, my friends...
Tip-top shape.
I know. It's maybe not a great story. But see, all my buddies had smoked too, and they enjoyed a beverage. And so we would have a couple of practice rounds like in March, and we sometimes we're golfing by the end of March. Right. So
do you guys, are you competitive with your golfing buddies?
Yeah.
I figured
There's a story. Somebody, I was doing a gig. It's all gig related. So I was doing a gig in Kitchener, and it was at the Stampede Corral. I was doing a one-nighter. And so I was signing autographs afterwards. And this guy came up to me and he said, I dropped something at your feet, but I don't think you saw it. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. Did you want me to sign it? And he said, well, no. Here, look at it. And it was a green fee at what? Interkip.
Oh, okay.
And it was like, oh, and that was Brad Pister.
Oh, no way.
And so Brad and I became friends. And so we went and had a round of golf with Brad. And so eventually what happened is they were missing a fourth. So I got added to their foursome.
Okay.
And we've golfed together. It's over 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, yeah. Okay.
So the cleanse goes on and it's serious business.
Oh, yeah. Interkip, great golf course. And so, and a bunch of great guys. And so here's the story I tell, because somebody asked me, said, because we used to golf Sunday morning. That was our round until we shifted to Wednesday afternoon. And so a buddy said, so, oh, you golf on Sundays? Yeah. I said, you got a pretty good foursome? This goes back to your question, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah. Yeah. I said, well, how'd you shoot the other day? I said, good. I shot a 76. And the guy went, oh, my God, that's amazing. I guess you won, eh? He said, no, I tied for last.
Oh.
And it's a true story.
Wow.
We had a 73, a 74, and two 76s. So if that tells you
wow.
the guys I was golfing against.
I can understand the cleanse and the gym.
Yeah.
And Gotta make sure I have that strength and that swing.
Yeah. It was a good bunch of guys.
That's awesome. That's yeah. great that you've been golfing all that time. I know my dad, he absolutely loved it. He took it so seriously. But then he just started marshalling on the golf course. Mm-hmm. So that way he had that in exchange for his membership. And he golfed.
Oh, yeah.
He would golf at, 5 o'clock in the morning. He'd be on his way to the golf course. He would be there by 20 after 5, have his coffee. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the sun's coming up, he was on there. As soon as there was a little bit of light, he was on there because he wanted the quiet. He loved it. And he would just golf by himself. He just loved it.
It's a nice, I've I'll tell you this, with the crew that I golf with on Sunday, we all carried our clubs. Mm-hmm. And we didn't start riding in a cart till we were, until I was 50. I didn't start riding in a cart. And so, I where I'm going with this is the people go, oh, yeah. Like it's not a real sport, whatever. And it's like, I will say this to that person, I'll put my golf clubs on your back.
Watch.
And you carry them around for 18 holes. Because I'll tell you that from the 16th, 17th, 18th hole, that was a tiring walk.
Definitely. It's the same thing as me when I start the festival season with the camera gear and you're lugging. It's a lot of camera gear when you've got that on your shoulder and you've been putting your arms up to a stage and you're holding that camera up for as soon as people go to take my camera, they'll go, oh, my God, how do you do this?
Yep.
Because the cameras are heavy.
Sure.
And you're holding your arms up there all that time. And I always remind myself, please, please make sure I'm shooting long before I do Boots and Hearts.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I need my arm muscle, right? Because holy Lord. Yep. You didn't even think about that stuff before. Yeah.
We all are in that category. But that the funny thing though about that, that's an interesting thing to address, is that how young do you feel?
Mm-hmm.
Now I get there's the physical sense, but then there's also an emotional sense, right?
Yep. Like the mental and emotional drive you further than your physical will any day. Yeah.
And I find that's the one thing that is maybe full circle when we were talking earlier about sitting having beers with, Charlie and Pat and Michelle and stuff like that. And it's kind of like, well, that as we age, there's sort of the energy when you're surrounded by the entertainment industry that we are. It's hard work. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also fun and energizing. And it's I find it energizing to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one element too, that when people have asked me, what means the most to you, like being a singer, being an entertainer, and I have to admit that it's probably being a writer.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to take away from. I really enjoy singing. I enjoy singing songs I wrote and entertaining a crowd and
but
telling
the
jokes
songs...
and making people laugh.
Yeah, well, yeah. I can make comments on that.
yeah, well, okay. occasionally I make them laugh, yeah.
When we have the songwriting end of it like you do, because you're such an incredible storyteller. And that's why you deliver a song in a way that it's, you just want to sit and listen. And that's what's so special, really special.
Well, thank you for saying that. What I'd add too is that piano lessons at 5, guitar lessons at 8, my folks played music, right? Like I was surrounded by a musical family. Mm-hmm. However, I was a writer, right? Like I had some wonderful English teachers, and whether it was short stories, I love to, fictional short stories. I love that. And I would have been, I was going to be an English teacher, but there was no jobs for teachers at the time that I was 19 years old.
Oh, I didn't know you wanted to do that.
Yeah. And so I went to a couple of universities to check it out. And it was like one of those deals where you'd be waiting, 5 or 6 years to be an English teacher, mm-hmm. because there just was no job opportunities. It's like, okay, so what do I do with this writing English thing? It's like, okay, so now I looked at journalism, and it's like, between you and I, I'm sorry, that was a little boring.
I understand.
It was interesting, but it was kind of like I was, okay, what's my, and I kept shifting, and where did I go from journalism? I went to broadcasting, mm-hmm. right? And I didn't actually go to broadcasting with the notion of being, hey, how you doing? Like being on air. I went to write, mm-hmm. and produce. Like mm-hmm. But it all started with writing, and that I guess is the ultimate
Very
thing
good.
that kind of
leads
makes
me into something. Leads
feel
me.
Like I've accomplished something. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about a song so we can play something for everybody right now.
Okay. Sure.
Let's talk about Open a Window. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that one, writing that song. And you were featuring...
Yeah, Maddie Haskell. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So tell us about that song, because that's pretty cool. And the video too is just, you can tell the story so mm-hmm. well. And people can interpret that song in many different ways too.
Well, there's a couple different elements. And what I'll do is that was a video that I shot with Terry Odette. Mm-hmm. And we shot it at my house, and it was the part that was sort of interesting is we connected the dots with the Bell Let's Talk, because the song is based in a mental health arena, and I'll get to that in a second. The cool thing was I had some friends holding up signs, and that was a nice little bonus to that video, which mm-hmm. again plays into. Like, let's talk, please. You know, mm-hmm. like if you've got some mental health problems, you're not alone.
Right.
And so that was, but the story of the song, Carrie DeMare and I wrote that tune, and I write a lot of, she's my
writing
partner.
Oh, I didn't know Carrie was on that one too. Wow.
Yeah.
She surprised me.
And so here's the part of the story that I haven't been hiding it at all. But it was kind of like, both our moms, struggled a little bit sometimes with mental health and mm-hmm. and
it's not something in
their health in general. Yeah.
Yes. Not something in their lifetime normally would they ever talk about. So, yeah.
And so that song came from personal experience, and it was sort of like, how could we, how do we describe that? Now, we weren't writing a story about our moms per se, mm-hmm. but it was kind of inspired by that, and the moments living with somebody. It was having mental health problems. And so I think that I'm proud of the song.
Very much so. I love listening to it, and I can relate to it because of stuff that I've gone through with people mm-hmm. that I care about. It was a very powerful song. Very powerful song. That's why I thought, you know what, I want to play this one because it shows the deeper side of your writing. I would really like to showcase it because it's such a special song, and we've heard so much at this time of year too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I'm pleased with is the unorthodox presentation, right? Of when things get really cold, mm-hmm. what do? Well, open a window. Wait a minute, that's the opposite of and that's kind of the little rub in the presentation, right? Is trying to navigate living with somebody. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't always make the right decisions or would make a decision that isn't necessarily the one that would correct the situation. And how do you work with somebody who doesn't see that, mm-hmm.
It's hard.
It is. Absolutely. It's hard. I think
it's very difficult, and it depends on the type of mental illness as well. And it's, very, it's not an easy road, but I loved when I saw the signs going, we love you. We love you. We're here for you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I hope it's sort of an interesting tongue in cheek presentation, mm-hmm. but it's hopefully a hug, you know, it's meant to be, I'm here with you.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? Yeah. We're doing this together.
Yep.
Yeah. It was brilliant. I loved it. And I was watching it a couple of times. I'm going to change it. We're going to play this one. Tell us about bringing Maddie into this one.
Well, see, Maddie, I've known for a while, and Maddie sort of came through I knew her from her recording at the studio. And so that's sort of how we initially kind of bumped into each other. And she has a very unique voice, and it's something that I've always been fascinated with. And I've had her sing on a couple of songs where we let her share the moment. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is she sings a harmony, but she reminds me of, and I'm not saying her voice sounds like this person, but if you listen to certain people that will sing a harmony, Patti Loveless would be a good example. I've lost my track of the girl I really want to put my finger on. But what happens is when they sing a harmony, and they do sing a harmony, but you hear their voice, there's a character in their voice. And often they'll choose a melody that will not just be a harmony, but to a certain extent, almost a harmony / lead.
Mm-hmm.
So she just, and when we bring her on a song, we try to accommodate that too.
That was,
you know,
really
I'll try
good.
To find moments for her because she's got such a really neat,
mm-hmm.
And it's Emmylou Harris. That's who I was trying to think of.
Oh, yes. And so, I can see that.
And see, when Emmylou sings on somebody's record, you know it's her.
Mm-hmm.
She's still singing a harmony, and she's adding something to the song. She's not taking over from the lead vocalist, but you know it's her. And she brings something to the table. And so that's what I find with Maddie.
Very, very.
And I'm a fan of hers. And she will, I'll say this out loud to you, is that Rick and I have been talking too, that I've got another song that we haven't finished yet, that I'm going to bring her in to sing on.
Nice.
Just because I like the way we sound together.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I don't think I've ever seen her before. So when I watched the video, that was my first introduction, I think, to her.
Okay.
Yeah, very cool.
Well, and her husband is John Gulley, J.K. Gulley.
Okay.
Another well-known artist himself. John and I have written a bunch of songs together over the years. What a Woman Wants to Hear, we wrote that together.
Wow.
And he currently plays with Carole Baker.
Okay. I know the name. Yeah.
Yeah, a really good guitar player. We occasionally get John in to play acoustic guitar. Like he plays all types of guitar, but has a really interesting finger picking acoustic playing style.
Very cool. Well, let's play this one right now. So here is Open a Window by multi-award-winning country artist Jamie Warren, featuring Maddie Haskell here on Music's Journey.
She rattled a coffee cup off my mother's face. Yeah, don't worry, it's just a picture frame. She lightly tossed three plates she never really liked. Yeah, I hid the knives. It wasn't something that I said. I know it wasn't something that I did. It was just one of those crazy days, but I love her anyway. Ooh, baby, we're a wild ride. Let's pack a lunch and take our time. Ooh, baby, when the lonely winter blows and it's cold outside, open a window. You never know with her what you're gonna get. Life life is like a box of chocolates. Some days are tasty and sweet, some days are a little nutty. Hope you know I love you, honey. Ooh, baby, we're a wild ride. Let's pack our lunch and take our time. Ooh, baby, when the lonely winter blows and it's cold outside, open a window. Some days I know it feels just like you wanna pack it in. You find it hard to breathe and the walls are closing in. Open a window. Put the car in drive, or so she thought. Reversed her way back into the mini mart. She was laughing when she called. She said, I left my mark on the mini mart wall. Ooh, baby, what a wild ride. Pack our lunch and take our time. Ooh, baby, when the lonely winter blows and it's cold outside, we'll open the window. Open the window. Let's open a window.
That was the song that I absolutely love, and it just stands for something that is so important right now, and it's called Open a Window, and that is by my very special guest, multi-award-winning country artist, Jamie Warren. It is such a good one, so just make sure that you download it. It is available on all streaming platforms. You can add it to your playlist, share it, and you can also request it at your favorite local country
radio station. And I'm sorry, what did you say, a multi-award-winning? Mm-hmm. Did you want to... Wow. Who knew? No, I'm sorry. I had...
Well, let me see. Multi Junos, multi CCMAs.
Okay. Yeah. I'm pulling my own leg. That's what, something like that. Yeah.
There
yeah.
you go. I love the side of you when I see songs like this because you do it so well. You do it really
thank
well. Back to some of the other stuff we were talking about, because you've been releasing music for such a long time since 19. I thought it was 84, but you're saying 83. And
actually, yeah.
To radio. Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
83 for sure. It might have been 82, but I had my first top 10, which was called World of a Child, which was on a format that doesn't exist anymore. It was called Middle of the Road.
Yes.
MOR. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was the first tune that I recorded it in college. That was the first song that Rick and I did together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well,
I know. It was way back in the old days.
I didn't emphasize anything. I didn't do that.
No, I did. Yeah, back when you recorded on 2-inch tape. Yep.
When you look at the landscape of country music, and you've had that experience to be able to watch it evolve and change and come back, like you're saying, we're seeing the contemporary. And when you think about that over the years, we talk to young artists all the time that come on the show. What would your approach be to, if you're writing with a new artist and they come to you and ask for all that experience about releasing a song to radio? Because a lot of the young artists don't realize is that, or fans may not, the artists would, but the fans don't, that it's 2 years by the time it gets to radio, at least roughly 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. That's what's popular at that moment. So trying to write to suit radio, you have to look at it differently. How would you say that to a young artist starting out right now?
Well, I think that you pegged it, because the normal stance of a song, now COVID,
that was different. Yeah.
Yeah. Sped up the process of recording. Right. Mm-hmm. But normally, yeah. I mean, somebody writes a song, then it gets pitched. Right. And then somebody goes, yeah. Okay. And then they're organizing, making a record, but it's scheduled to be made at this time. Right. Mm-hmm. And then the song itself is recorded, and then picking singles, and it may be the third single. Right. And so this whole process, the song doesn't see the light of day for at least 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody's listening to the radio, as you've already said, if you're trying to imitate what's on the radio, you're
it's
already
never gonna
2 years
work.
Behind. No.
Yeah.
Now, what I'd also say, though, is listen to the radio to have a sense of what is going on. Mm-hmm. Like just to, you know, like what you're competing or going to be competing with. Right. It's worthwhile taking that into consideration. But to make your point, and a point I've made in the past, is what is your authentic self? And keep in mind that music always evolves, and it always has. And sometimes this is interesting, the contradiction, sometimes the evolution is a backtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, it never goes back to exactly what it was, but it may go back
to the influences of it. Yeah.
Yes. And so what does that mean? Well, sometimes music can get more contemporary and more contemporary, and then every once in a while it'll do a traditional backlog, right? Mm-hmm. But you know, it's and then sometimes it takes a hybrid, right? It stays contemporary but has a traditional lilt. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm really making it more confusing. But that's where, you know, you want to write songs with good people. You want to make sure that you've got an interesting voice that goes with that song. And then, you know,
understanding yourself as an artist, too. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like coming to grips with what it is that you feel comfortable, not what you feel comfortable saying, but how you feel comfortable saying it. Mm-hmm. And that could be arrangement, could be the song style. Right? Mm-hmm. It could be the production elements.
That's the one thing.
All of the above.
You know, like, because you're releasing your new music now, and I'm sure you've got some more coming up. Mm. But how do you look at it, and how would you tell an artist today? Because it's all in timing, as you said. It's,
right.
If it's on a certain project, because I know we've been talking about your CD that mm-hmm. we thought was going to be released last year.
Right.
And whether or not it's going to be released this year, like you've got all that set in mind of the certain songs that you want to, you know, mm-hmm. to put on that project. But releasing a song has to be, and you touched base on this just a second ago, it's got to be about your love of the music and the love of the lyrics and the song and not worrying about radio to a degree, right?
Yeah, I think that, yeah. I mean, the answer is D, all of the above, to quote, oh, that was an album, wasn't it? But again, if you're a young artist now, see, when you ask me that question about as we age, like it's very difficult for me to have, I think it's almost next to impossible for me to have a hit song on contemporary radio, mm-hmm. contemporary country radio at my age. Now, as you hear me say that, I'm not heartbroken. I'm okay. Like I'm just saying that it's a young man's game, a young mm-hmm. lady's game, right?
That's what I meant by the landscaping. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the reason I bring that up is I probably get to have a little more leeway in maybe what I'm presenting, where a younger artist who's trying to get on the radio
for the first time.
For the first time has to be aware of the parameters. But what I would also say is, you know, in order to make that shimmy, you probably need the backing of a label. Mm-hmm. You probably need the backing of different elements of the industry to break through. In the same breath, watch me contradict again. That's where I said D, all the above, is what is the next thing? Well, they may not know what it is yet. And that might be you,
mm-hmm.
right? And mm-hmm. and so
you're seeing a lot of that. You're seeing a lot of that because when I started this, all the labels are going, what? A podcast? Mm-hmm. No, because I wasn't doing it live anymore. And now look at, you know, is completely changed, where they're just, they're so hungry for you to do them now, right? It's
right.
Totally different.
Well, and again, the authentic element, right, is kind of like, and what is it that you're trying to accomplish? I mean, I don't have all the answers, but I can share sort of an answer. And another analogy is, if the lineup at the club you're trying to get into is around the club three times and down the street, mm-hmm. walk away. Because what I'm saying to you is, the chances of you getting in that club while it's still open before it closes at 2 a.m. is like, mm-hmm. it's a metaphor, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like,
very smart.
So there's a couple of different angles. One is, because I'm a songwriter, right? So I'm about images and analogies. But the other element is, walk around the place and see if you can bump into a friend that you might know that can get you in the back door through the kitchen.
Right.
Now, that's an angle. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest that before you decide to walk away. And if that's not an option, then go look for another club where there's not as big a lineup. And the metaphor is, maybe that's going to be the next club where everybody runs to, but you're going to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
And
very
so
smart.
this is again, you know, to make sure that you're always being creative. And there's always another place where you could get discovered, mm-hmm. or to bump into somebody else, or that networking thing we were talking about earlier, right? Mm-hmm. Because as you're walking, see, this other thing is that as you kind of go, oh my God, what a long lineup. And there's somebody else beside you going, yeah, are you kidding me? Jeez, we're never getting, yeah. But you want to go somewhere else? You've never met this person. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. And so as you're walking down the street looking for another club, you get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that guy's a producer that came from Kansas to, you know, I'm making all this stuff up.
Maybe but they then, know your voice and remember, you know, he'll be
right.
perfect for this song. Yeah.
Or you play him a song that night, you mm-hmm. know, at this new club with nobody's in. The guy goes, wow, you really got a cool voice. It's like, well, there's a connection.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. I just thought the streaming platforms too changed this so much
sure. For
new artists being able to not have to worry as much to some degree about what radio's playing.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, I would say yes and no. And what I mean by that is that I'm going to say mostly yes. And that plays a part where somebody is liking something that's maybe different. Or mm-hmm. somebody else hasn't, or somebody else turned down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or didn't think it was what people were looking for, or somebody found it before they found it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it does level the playing field a little bit in a positive way, right? Where
yeah.
people can get discovered without going through the normal format.
Well, because like when you're talking about the CMAOs or the CCMAs, or the Alberta, you know, Country Music Awards, Saskatchewan, all of that, those are what fans listen to who won
right.
those awards. But now you've got Amazon Music, has got their billboards, you've got, you know, Sirius XM, you've got, you know, Spotify. Those are all new, you know, that have been, you know, coming up the last couple of years. And that's, you know, fans are seeing a lot more new artists than they ever have before.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that, And they can find, they can
anything.
Pick and choose.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can pick and choose. It's not just the labels mm-hmm. deciding what it is that the audience gets to hear.
Yeah, definitely.
And that brings forth more diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, that's ultimately, you know,
they don't
win.
Listen
and
to the CDs from front to back like they did in my day, but
well.
they don't
yeah,
take
well,
the time to listen to the whole thing. They miss so much music. They really do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's been a problem in sort of the history of recorded music, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, when it first started, it was about 45s, right? They were,
mm-hmm.
It was about singles. And then it took a while for it to get into the 60s where albums became important.
Mm-hmm.
And then album cuts were really
and important. Album cuts are so important. So important.
Oh, well, see, and this is I totally agree, and I think that you know, we could have somebody from the industry disagree with us for sure, and I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But I often think that with you as an artist having the opportunity to record something that is 10 songs deep, it could be 12 or 14, whatever you want,
mm-hmm.
but you know, and even with an EP that might be seven songs, mm-hmm. but let's take the 10. It's kind of like you get four songs to do whatever you want with.
Yeah.
And I would say you get more than that. But, you know, if you're trying to please the center, if you're trying to get hits, you know, okay, that gives you six. Now, I'm not saying I do that, but I'm saying, but then the important thing is that half the record are album cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take a chance with those songs.
Smart.
Do something different with the production. Do something different with the arrangement. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you got something that's a little heavier sounding, or something that's totally acoustic, right? With a, I'm making this up, you know, totally acoustic with an orchestra,
mm-hmm.
four piece string section. Like, just something totally different. Well, why can't you do that?
Yeah. I did an interview with Marianas Trench and their latest album and his solo album. And when he mm-hmm. compared the two, and he talked about that, and it was just putting all of these different sounds. He did so much different music mm-hmm. on a solo album, and it was so cool. And mm-hmm. the fans absolutely loved it, but he took a chance, like you were talking about, right? Yeah.
Well, and see, sometimes too, if you approach it as you and I refer to them as album cuts, mm-hmm. which means it's not going to be a single.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the pressure of it having to be, you know, 2.5 minutes long or 3 minutes long, right? And fit all these, you know, to be a single,
mm-hmm.
you can play with it because exactly. all the pressure's off.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing about that is, so then you take a slightly different approach on the drum kit. You take a slightly different approach on, you know, you maybe have a more distorted
creativity.
Guitar solo. Mm-hmm. Right. But then the interesting thing is when you go back and start listening to your album, sometimes what you find is those album cuts sound almost the best because of the fidelity
mm-hmm.
and the arrangements and the production. And occasionally they could be, they end up being singles. And the reason they end up being singles or, pardon me, the color of them is so different because you didn't put the pressure on them in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got, you did all the stuff knowing it's never going to be that way. But what do you do then? Well, here's what you do. You edit it, you figure out a way to get it down to around 4 minutes,
yep.
or 3.5, and take a shot at it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be surprised sometimes.
Well, that's, you know, Chicago did songs. It how many times, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. I when I had them on, we talked a lot about that. And that's if radio hadn't taken a chance, they just couldn't get played. Just because their right. songs were longer and, you know, that creativity, that's what they were known for. But then, you know, radio decided they really liked that song. And I think that was Beginnings and cut it mm-hmm. right down. And
great band.
Yeah, I love them. I still love them to this day. They're so good. Really, really good. Okay, so tell us, if you go back in time and you were giving some advice to a very young Jamie Warren with all that you've learned and you're giving him some advice today, what would it be?
Advice that I didn't figure out or,
yep.
or what I, well,
that's a really loaded question, right?
Yeah. Well, no, actually the advice I'd give him, which is what I've learned and what I've passed on in the mentoring that I do in the courses that I teach, it's okay if I take that angle, and it would be to be prepared for the word no.
Mm-hmm.
Be prepared for things not to work out. Be prepared for things to not go the way you want them to go. Now, so far, everything I've said sounds really negative. But
it's
what
it's not, though.
No, because what it is what I want to do is tell him that you're going to get a no, and that's okay. Certain things aren't going to go the way you want, so make sure you've got plan B, C, D, and E, just in case,
mm-hmm.
because the important part is you don't quit. You keep moving, and it's okay. Here's another thing too: is that when you use that magical thing, you know, so that you know not to quit. But sometimes it's okay to stay in the same position for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to sit in your butt and okay, have a cry, feel sorry for yourself. That's okay. 24 hours later, time to move forward again. And because sometimes we set up our new folks you know, the novices in a way that we tell them the world is perfect. And when they get a no, it crushes them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's all. And that's what I try to do when I mentor and or teach, is that, and I try to make sure I make them laugh. But
good point.
It's important, but it's important to know that, and the analogy I've used before, and I hope I'm not repeating myself, is that, okay, is the glass half empty or half full? Well, welcome to my classroom. I guarantee you, absolutely, without the benefit of a doubt, it's half empty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of us together right now, it's half empty. Let's all cry. Come on. Let's do it. Boo. Come on. Do it all together. Let's all feel really sad because, oh my God, it's half empty. Okay? Mm-hmm. Let's get it all out. Blah, get it.
What are you going to do about it now?
Whatever. Yeah. Breathe. Blow it all away. Okay. It's half empty. Now that we've decided that, how about you and I talk about, could it be half full?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we move forward with that?
Mm-hmm.
And then the turnaround, the absolute thing is that it doesn't matter. It's just, I don't want to swear. It's BS, man. It's just spin.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same amount of water. Whether it's half full or half empty, it's half.
You always have to come at it in a different way, right?
Yeah. So who gives a crap as to how, if it's half full or half empty? It's just drink the water.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let it evaporate. But the thing is that, again, I'm doubling down on making sure that people aren't crushed.
Yeah.
Making sure that people can handle not today.
And I think too. Yeah, because I think too that when artists hit big, if it's just a song, some, you know, they're not prepared for all of what this business takes, because you can be mm-hmm. on a label 1 second and be let go. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to stop your career?
Right.
Are you going to mm-hmm. continue and start to create and work a way around it? No, I love what I do. This is what I'm going to find a way to make this yep. work. You have to be hungry in this business or you'll get eaten alive. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. And you got to keep going.
Yep.
I've got a couple of funny stories. One is, I think I've told the story about when I was in Memphis, took 6 cassettes and went to Nashville, went to Music Row and dropped them off at the 6 record companies. This is like 1983. And Paige Levy at Warner Brothers was one of the persons that I met. And then now I'm back in Canada. She liked the first cassette, asked for some more music, and we sent her stuff down. And then we eventually got a letter that said, thank you very much for Jamie's, you know, we wish him all the best. He's very talented, but we're going to go in another direction right now. And they signed Randy Travis.
Yes, I remember. We talked about that.
Yeah. But it was kind of, I didn't know any better. I was 22, and you didn't really get a record deal at that age anyway. That was one example. But also jumping 10 years ahead, you know, and now we're in the mid 90s and we have 5 songs that we started shopping. Ready to Run was an independent hit in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden we got management, we got, and so Sony was interested. They came up from Nashville to Toronto. We did a showcase for them and we had a done deal.
Mm.
Sony was signing me. And then Ty Herndon, if you remember that artist, mm-hmm. had a little kerfuffle in the park.
Yes.
Yes. And so we literally had a record deal and we were waiting for the paperwork. And so this thing happened to Ty Herndon, who is on Sony. Well, we got the letter that, or it wasn't a letter at that point. We got a phone call saying, we're not signing anything now for 6 months because they had to deal with this Ty Herndon schmerzazel. And so there's another record deal gone. And then we did another one for, I'm trying to think, another label in Nashville associated with Sony. They came up and that didn't work the way we wanted it to. So then we released What Goes Around Comes Around, right?
Okay.
Again, independently from that same record. So we've been through 2 possible record deals, right? And we mm-hmm. had one for sure. And then the third one was River North, which was a signed deal out of Nashville. And that put us on Universal or Mercury at the time. And then the first song that they got to release from that record was One Step Back.
Wow.
But that there's examples of things that didn't work out.
But also have to look at that too, that, you know, sometimes you might think you're ready. Sometimes you might think, if this just got onto radio now, I know it would have been a hit, whatever, you know, that the artist is looking at. But sometimes it's better, you know, mm-hmm. when it's released later. You might not see it at the time, but you have to see, you just got to keep moving forward, right?
Yeah.
And just keep plugging and it eventually works, right? It's just timing.
Well, and that's, yeah, and we had, in Canada in particular, right, we had a top 10 with Ready to Run. And then What Goes Around Comes Around was really close to top 10. I think it was about 12. Mm-hmm. But they were both released independently. And then One Step Back was totally a top 10. And there's a funny story to that, and I don't know if I've told this one, is that my manager, Larry Mazur, came up to Canada, and we went into the office to see Doug Chappelle. So it's going to be the first release with Mercury, which became Universal, right? Mm-hmm. And so we were having a conversation as to what the first single would be. Well, Kim, it's my third single, right? Mm-hmm. Like from that album. And I thought, I was thinking in my head, Watching Her Sleep, which to kind of mix it up, mm-hmm. and then One Step Back would be fourth. And so that was me as an artist. Mm-hmm. And so Doug Chappelle said, well, we had a meeting in his office and he said, well, we were thinking One Step Back. And I said, oh, I wasn't really, I did. And so we had a nice meeting, but at some point he said, okay, well, just hang on a second. I'll leave you guys to talk for a minute. I got to go do something. Like, I'll be right back. And he left the office. And my manager, Larry, said to me, what are you doing? Mm. And I said, what do you mean? He said, okay, the company is behind this song. You want them to be behind the song. And this is really important. And so I personally think you need to follow that. You can make Watching Her Sleep fourth, but I really believe in your best interest, you need to go with the song they feel comfortable with. And so it wasn't, and I just went, okay.
Like, see, at least you did that.
He said, you know, I got his point, you know, and, mm-hmm. And so when Doug came back in, you know, Larry said, yeah, we talked it over and we're going to go with One Step Back. And then Doug Chappelle was really happy. The whole mm-hmm. record company was happy. And, you know, and I kind of go, really? I didn't want to release One Step Back first? Like probably the most iconic song I have, right?
Yes.
But it was just, I was thinking of it as three and four, not four and three.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See?
But I listened. I went.
That's the best thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of went, yeah, mm-hmm. whatever.
Because sometimes artists can be really stubborn.
Can be what, sorry?
Stubborn.
Oh, really?
Well, just saying.
That's the trick sometimes, too, because it's again, to repeat myself, D all of the above. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's
important
for... You
need to be sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. You need a... I wouldn't hope for the word stubborn, but, you know, committed.
Yeah, because you know what you're looking for and what you want to do in your career. Yeah.
In the same breath, though, Kim, you're right, is that sometimes... another analogy I give to people is that, you know, in terms of writing the song, in terms of arranging the song for the most part, you know, I get it. But if you use an analogy like building a house, okay, and when I mean building a house, it's a recorded song, mm-hmm. not just a written song, but a recorded successful song. It's like building a house. And it's like, okay, so you did write the song, right? And you are the singer of the song. So you designed the house, mm-hmm. right? Good mm-hmm. for you. You designed a really cool house. Now, you want window shades, not window curtains. And the producer wants to try some curtains. It's like, what difference does it make?
Doesn't matter.
Like, yep. like try them out. And it's kind of like, okay, maybe you don't want a purple house, but, you know, the guy wants to use a different flooring. Mm-hmm. Well, you built the house. Let them color it the way they want.
Very
you know?
Cool.
And so it's like that's where there are some times when you kind of go, okay.
Right? Like, it's not exactly what I had in mind, but yep, let's go for it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's important too.
Mm-hmm. Very smart. Very smart. Yeah. Let's talk about He Should Have Been Crying. Let's talk about your new single. Because that one came out before, right? On your eighth studio album?
Yes. Yeah. It was from that record.
Yeah,
and
I thought so.
We reconnected on it.
Yeah, because it's such a great song, really great song. Tell us about writing this one.
Well, it was a song I wrote with Carrie and I and Jesse Trenier.
Really, and Carrie was a part of that one too.
Yeah, and wow. And so there's a bit of an interesting thing is that we weren't sure originally whether it should be a guy's tune or a girl's tune. Mm-hmm. And I think ultimately it being a guy's tune was the correct, I don't know. It could have gone either way, right?
Yep.
So you even got me thinking. Mm-hmm. But I it was just, I liked the hook line.
Yeah, it was, it's such a great song. Yeah. And I love the story behind it, but it was delivered in such a great way. It's an upbeat song to some degree, right? And yeah, I loved it. It's really cool. Okay, so we're going to play this one right now. Here is He Should Be Crying by multi-Juno award-winning country artist Jamie Warren here on Music's Journey.
Just let him go. Don't you think that it's time that you just let him know? He should be crying over you.
That was He Should Be Crying, and that is the new single released on radio on January 30th by my very special guest, country artist Jamie Warren. This is something that you can download right now. This is available on all streaming platforms, and you can add it to your playlist. You can share it, and don't forget, you can also request it at your favorite local country radio station. Great song.
Thank you.
Is there anything Carrie can't do?
She has trouble dancing.
Oh.
Yeah. And she doesn't like people to know that. But she's a little shy.
So
I got a couple things I could say about Carrie. So the one thing that I don't think a lot of people know is she's quite the athlete, right?
Oh, she's a hockey player. Man, she was a great goalie.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And here's something else. Now, she's had some problems with her hands the last couple of years.
But
they're getting better. She's had a couple of, she just recently had surgery. But she's doing great. And so she's back playing guitar again.
Nice.
But she's a really good golfer.
Oh.
Hits a great ball. And it doesn't surprise me because there was a time too where it's like within the last couple of years where it was Ange and I and Lawrence, her husband, and Carrie, right? And we went golfing together and it was fun because again, Lawrence golfs a lot and Ange was a big ringette player. And
I keep Carrie forgetting was a, that. Yes. Cause yeah, she's got
was
that.
A
yeah.
Hockey player. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that's where my golf comes from, right? I'm a ball player, hockey player.
Mm-hmm.
And so can I hit a pretty good ball? Yeah, I can actually. But the reason I, where I'm going with this is I'm a hockey player, so I don't have the perfect golf swing, if you know what I mean, right? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes the perfect swing isn't what it's about. It's just the ability to change your weight and hit something with a stick.
The way you need to,
and,
your
yeah,
way.
Yep. Yeah, and so both Ange and Carrie can do that.
Wow.
So there you go. So there's
my dad used to say, because, you know, I was really good at baseball. I was really... really good in sports most of my life, but he just figured that he could teach me really quickly, and I picked it up pretty fast. Mm-hmm. Now I have to get back to it again, because I stopped doing it with my dad because I was on the road all the time, but I miss it. I told you, I don't know if I told you, my dad, he gave me his set of clubs, but when my dad died, he wanted his golf clubs and his golf balls in the casket with him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that was a part of the eulogy that we did. But yeah, it just meant so much to him. That was his peace. Yeah. That was his calm. And he loved it.
That's a sweet story.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, and that's part of the thing. Like when I used to play pickup hockey and when I would golf on Sunday mornings, I never missed a Sunday morning. And Kim, occasionally I had a gig. This is a true story where, like, cause it's Saturday night, right? So we'd be doing a show. I've done this, a show in Kingston, or a show. I did one night, a show in Ottawa, and we drove home that night. And occasionally we golfed at 8 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Mm.
And there was sometimes where I got into bed and set the alarm for 1 hour.
I went down it.
And then I got in the shower because it woke me up, right? And I never missed a tee time. And part of it was just, it wasn't about music.
No.
It was just
balance.
Yeah. Outside with my pals. And there's something about growing up playing sports that it takes me back. It makes me relax. And that's why I brought up pickup hockey too. It's just for an hour, it's like nothing else really matters.
That's what I think I loved about my dad the most. He taught, like, there was five of us. My dad would teach every single one of us how to catch baseball. Mm-hmm. Then I was in soccer. I was in the All-Ontarios in soccer. So I was really good at that, but also in field hockey and played baseball in the All-Ontarios. And he took the time, badminton, he made sure we knew every sport, even frisbee. He would make us throw and throw and throw till we knew how to do it. Diving, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he took that time with us out on the weekends and spent that time, you know, and those are my favorite memories with my dad is him teaching.
Awesome.
Yeah. Very cool.
It's funny. It's a dad story, but it's not directly connected, but it kind of is that, so when I was golfing and I was young and I was about 11 years old. And so we went outside of Hanover, we'd ride our bikes out there and go golfing, and we had club storage. Okay. And so my dad, I never had a wedge because I wasn't, you know, I'm still a young player.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad was left-handed and so was I. So I'm sharing this story with you. You can't tell anybody. Okay. So I'm 11 years old. And what I did was I borrowed my dad's pitching wedge from his clubs. Right.
Ooh.
But my dad's not there because it's just us kids during the day. Right. Blah, blah, blah. So we're out golfing, and it's a true story, and it's one of those life lessons that I never forgot. So I had a bit of a temper, right? You know, got a little, you know,
you?
But yeah. Well, I don't
really?
Anymore. But yeah, and so what happened was I hit a bad shot, and I tomahawked the club in my hand, right? Just went into the long fescue,
ooh,
right? And as it came out of my hand, I realized, oh my God, that was my dad's pitching wedge. Mm. So it took me and my three friends about 15 minutes to find the club in the long fescue. Now, we weren't, this isn't, so why I'm saying that too, it's like a Tuesday afternoon, like there's nobody else out there but us young kids, right? It's a small town golf course. So there was nobody behind us. So that's why we could take 15 minutes. Oh my God, I was almost crying because all I could picture is my dad's going to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
I can read it in the newspaper now. that Jamie Warren was taken out succinctly and quickly
by the same
blog. Yeah, that brought him into the world. And it was like, oh my, and I was sweating and I was shaking and we found it.
Nice.
So here's the part. I'm 11 years old, and to this day, I don't throw clubs, and I don't. But what I would do is, if I got mad, I would never throw a club away from the bag. It would be just at the bag or at the clubs or the ground close to it. I've never ever tomahawked a club again. It was like, nope. And, and honestly, I don't have that temper that I
can't picture it. I don't,
I don't bother anymore. It's just not worth the,
My brother was terrible. My brother was terrible. And he's a pastor and he'd be out in the field doing that. Yeah. He'd be, if he didn't get the shot, he'd be hitting it on the ground. It's like, okay, I don't know him. I do not know him. Okay, you got to tell me about your One Step Back 90s country tour. This sounds so cool. Can you give us a little bit about what artists are going to be on this? Because five Canadian artists, right? Full bands?
Yes. Yeah, full band, five artists. And I, again, okay, it's not, there's a couple that that we've got to...
iron that out.
We're still... Yeah, we got to iron that out. So that's where I didn't. But the tour itself is through Sakamoto, and we announced it at CCMA. So it will be five acts, and it will be a full band.
Nice.
And our goal is this fall. I'm very hopeful. There's been an interest again, right? A resurgence in 90s country.
Mm-hmm.
Mentioned in literally in a couple of songs on the radio, right? And plus in the States, there's been again more shows for some of those artists that you would remember from the 90s.
Yeah, there's quite a few. Yeah.
Well, see, and that's the thing too, Kim, is that like Kate and I, Kate House, as we were organizing this with Paul Biro, putting together a lineup, is that we have a lot of really talented, successful Canadian country artists from the 90s.
Very much.
And so the idea is, and I think I've shared this with you before, is that once we get, like, even with the first five, I would say this to all the artists that could be on this tour, don't worry about it, because the idea is to get it going.
Mm-hmm.
Couple
times
say
a year,
this, but three times a year.
Ooh,
so
nice.
you could have five different people each time, right?
Very cool.
So the idea is that we have a cool tour that people appreciate and that would come back to see another group of artists.
Where are you going to be touring?
Well, at this point, across Canada.
Very nice.
And I suspect it would be sort of a Western segment,
mm-hmm,
and then an Ontario with an East Coast connection segment as well.
Very cool. That is exciting. Mm-hmm. That is really good. So tell us about any new music you got coming up.
Yeah, Rick and I, we've got a couple of brand new songs that I guess who I wrote them with, Carrie DeMann. And so we've got one that's we already started demoing, and I've got one that I think is pretty cool that we need some verse lyrics. And that's a very Carrie would, if Carrie was part of this interview, she'd laugh, because that's sort of our, she laughs at me.
I know.
Because it's kind of like, I like to know the structure of the song. Mm-hmm. I kind of like to know where the bridge is going to go and the melody and stuff like that. And then often it'll be like, okay, so we got the structure of the song. What are the lyrics?
Mm-hmm.
Lyrics. And it's like, and I say that for a laugh, but that's not totally true, right? But we've got this new tune with the whole chorus done and the hook line and again, the structure, right? But it's like, and I have an idea what the verse lyrics are. And so we have to finish the verse lyrics.
Hmm.
And I think that's going to be an interesting song.
Is that going to be including two? You were talking about bringing Maddie back.
That's another one that we already had from last year, like that is part of of this new album.
Okay.
I'm looking at adding, like, there's these two songs and I might add one more. And so that's why we're in the writing. So we finished up one a couple weeks ago and we're finishing up a second one, I'm hoping this week or next.
Okay.
And then I've got another idea too. I'm not quite like.
See, spring's happening. The ideas are flowing everywhere.
Yeah, I'm going. Well, I've got these collected ideas right on my phone, and I've got I've got another song that I think could be a really cool summer tune.
Very
nice. And so that would be three new ones that we'll focus on. And that I think Kim would finish out this record.
Nice.
Which would be number 10.
Mm-hmm. Your studio album. Yeah. We've been waiting for it.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's, you know, welcome to COVID, right? Like that. It's funny. I've never done three albums in a row. And that's a little weird for me, because usually I take a bit of a break.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it's been good, though.
What,
it's been great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm glad, because it was COVID, right? And it was kind of like, thank goodness. I it's probably a little boring on Facebook. Where is Jamie every Wednesday? Well, he's with Rick at the studio. And then he goes golfing after.
Yes, because he's got Tim Hortons. Does he? If he's with Ange, it might be an Ange day. Yeah. So we definitely have Starbucks in our hands today.
Yeah. Well, see, and that keeps Jamie sane.
That's it. Right? There you go.
He gets to hang out with his best friend and do something in the studio and then go golfing.
Nice. I want to bring you and Maddie on together when you release that. That would be awesome to have the two of you together.
Oh, that would be very cool. She's very talented.
I'm glad I watched that video, because I did not know who she was until I watched that.
Well, she sang on Still Only Me. We had her in on that one too. And one of the coolest tunes, which I'm still, was from my greatest hits. I think that would have been first tune we had her sing on, even though I just realized Still Only Me is an older tune, but we redid it and we had her sing on it. But Make Me Believe, which is one of my favorite songs.
That's
the title cut of the greatest hits record.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first one she sang with me.
Okay. We'll do a Zoom one on that one.
You've got me thinking, because it's like, I've released, this is my 65th single.
Remember last time we thought it was over 70.
Yeah. And it was, but the funny thing was, that's an interesting, yeah, I think it was close to that.
Because we kept thinking over 70. Yeah.
Yeah. But Make Me Believe, I forgot about that tune and I quite like it. But if you've got 10 albums, right. And you've got 100, well, if you've got, again, we'll go back to the singles, right.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got 65 singles to pull from, you're not going to do that many songs in a show. And so every once in a while, there's a song that I forget about that I go, and you just reminded me of Make Me Believe. I should pull that one out. I got a show on Sunday.
That would be cool.
I'm going to do that.
I love that song. It's a really good song. Got so many of them.
That's a really personal tune. It's what I'd say to that too, Kim, is that as we finish up this record, I've got a couple ideas beyond these three songs that we're talking about that a couple of them probably will be singles.
Mm-hmm.
And that we'll finish up this third album, which is the 10th one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but what do I do now? Like, meaning, not in general, but well.
She's so good at the deep stuff. She is so good.
Well, see, in what you said, I think that there'll be a shift.
Mm.
I don't know what, and I'm not saying I'm, yeah.
It's just because, like, when I went back and saw the video for Open a Window, I went, oh, why is he not doing more of those?
Well,
good.
Well, what we did too, and this did happen over the last three records, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the videos that I did with Terry, one was Open a Window. The other one was Basement of a Church. That's the first big video we did where it mm-hmm. was a single as well.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't meant to be. But we did videos for Do You Think of Me? It was never released as a single.
That's right.
And so those are the album cuts. You're mm-hmm. Open a Window. It's an album cut. And
nice.
It's like we did videos for them so that people could see them. And I'm very proud of like all those songs.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're all
special, 80, 000, really special songs.
But 80,000 views.
I'm telling you. I told you.
Like good songs. On the album cut. And so
album cuts are important.
Absolutely. And so that's where I was leaning, is that I think that I'll probably get some more album cuts.
Okay, so
because it's important for those story songs slash
exactly.
maybe something that's a little
and
more
to bring some of the humor in to the interview. I'm mm-hmm. holding you to this because I'm saying it on this one, so I'm not letting you off. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so you're gonna
want some humor.
Well, you're gonna he's gonna get mad at me now. Mm-hmm. You're gonna have to sing "I Don't Look Good Naked Anymore."
Oh, okay. Well, I
want to see some humor come into this one.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I better, whether I'm writing a humor, a humor filled song.
He's going to come with some kind of outfit on that's got the muscles on it.
Yeah. I don't look good naked anymore. Yeah.
I can see it.
We played that at my dad's funeral, by the way.
Yeah. It's a special one.
That was what he, that was his go-to song near the end. That was when he and my mom would go out. That was the and he had quite the sense of humor, my dad. So
that's where you get it from.
If you think I have a sense of humor, that definitely where
he's
I
going.
Got.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
We always have good laughs when we're doing the show. We always do. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Lots to look forward to this year. And please say hi to Ange for me. Give her a big hug.
Oh, I will. She's upstairs right now.
Oh, is she? She's doing
she's
good,
in her
right?
Office. Yeah.
I've seen her podcast. She's got that going too.
Yeah. She's very busy, which is cool. Like I'm glad she's sort of evolving her process too. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's awesome.
You guys make such a great team. You're both so full of knowledge.
Mm.
Yeah. Great pairing.
Okay. I'm going to repeat that to her just so she knows she's not the only one full of knowledge. Is that okay? you can remember I said that. I'm going to say.
Kim said it.
Both of us. She said both of us. Yeah.
I'm evolving. See?
Thank you.
Well, it has been a pleasure. It always is. I love having you on the show and I love the stories. So we always have such a good time.
Yes. I always enjoy talking to you. And we'll have to get together. I think both the CCMAs and the CMAOs are in Hamilton, I'm pretty sure.
Well, hopefully, I pray that, you know, I can do that because I've missed the CCMAs in the fall. So I'm really hoping that I could start getting out to everything this year. So that would be awesome.
It'll be good to see you.
Yeah, because we haven't seen each other for so long.
And we do have those too. Those are in Hamilton in September, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think. Yeah.
Which will be great. You know, being at that location now too. So I know I'm going to be off in, I think it's Peru and Sweden in August.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Cause I'm working with Sandy Graham and doing a lot of work with her now. And then we're both doing the Future Echoes. So
that's very cool.
Yeah. Looking forward
to it. That's exciting to go to those places too.
Mm-hmm. I've never been to those places.
I know, so neither have I.
Yeah. Okay. Well, say hi to everybody for me. And I got to get Katie too. I'm excited for Katie too.
Yeah. Yeah,
so excited for Katie.
She's got a, you know, anyway, I'll
we'll she's get into
got
all that.
A cool next single.
Oh, does she?
That we've been working on. Yeah. Yeah. It's,
do you know
it's,
when? He's going, stop it.
I don't know if I should see, because it was just, we were talking about it today, and I suspect it will be out mid to end of April.
Okay.
It's a cool tune.
We are so hot in Australia right now, in the UK and in Nashville.
Nice.
Yeah, like we've got so many listeners now throughout the States. So it's
very cool for you.
Mm-hmm. So it'd be nice for her to be, if she's doing the release, that we get her on there, which is awesome. So I got a lot of Nashville artists coming up.
Oh, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you are a big deal. There you go. I knew you were, but that's like, whoa.
I just want to tell the
story.
Now
I'm feeling, yeah, but it's like, okay, you and Ange, and what am I again? We're both. What is it? Knowledgeable?
Knowledgeable. You guys are so full of information. You guys so much knowledge.
We're both. That's
yes.
It. We're both full of information.
See?
Okay. I got it.
He's going to hold on to that as he goes up the stairs.
I'm going to run right upstairs after we hang up so won't forget it.
All right. God bless you. And we'll talk to you guys really soon. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, okay. Kim. Take care.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A great big thank you to my very special guest, multi-Juno award-winning country artist, Jamie Warren, for coming on the show. It is always great to have him back. I can always count on his special stories and, of course, his special humor. I have some great shows coming up. I'm going to be interviewing Sean Hogan, Gord Bamford, Madeline Merlot, Tim Hicks, Tennille Towns, Brian John Harwood, rock band Harmonies. I've got Samuel Harness from the NBC The Voice. Samuel is going to be on an upcoming episode, future episode, in the auditions for the hit series American Idol. So he's going to be trying out for that. So look forward to seeing him. I've also got Jay Coote, winner of The Voice, and he is back with another special song. I've got Devin Cooper, David James, Brittany Canal, Runaway Angel, Anthony Tulo, Rock Icons, Lighthouse, Allie Walker, Rock Icons, The Stampeders. I've also got Tyler Joe Miller. He's back as well with another song. We've got Ty Wilson, The Prairie States, Dan Davison, Shantaya, Annika, and so many more. Don't forget, you can catch all my shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also check out all the articles, new releases, new reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning into the Music's Journey show, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.